Well, good afternoon, everyone. I had to make sure it was afternoon. 2 months ago, we were observing the Feast of God, the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Last Great Day. And what a great time it was to be around God's people and to hear encouraging messages about God's plan for humanity and taking a tithe of our income and spending it in 8 days to rejoice before God. Wow. Now we sit here with a heavy dose of reality on our plates. We see how the world is now. The wars, the violence, hatreds, world disasters, talk of pandemic diseases. For many, the time after the feast is a letdown. And many are wondering what we should be doing now. Well, there was a historic event in this country the week that we arrived home from the feast. And I believe that it can give us an answer on how we can combat these feelings of despair to feelings of hope. You see, brethren, it begins with each of us. Now, that historic moment showed to me a key. Is that we need to do in order to get against the forces of evil that wants us to be discouraged. And for you who like titles, I have titled this sermonette, You Can Make a Difference. So what was that historic moment in this nation after we came back from the feast? Well, Rosa Parks had died. And her casket was placed in the rotunda of the United States Capitol for 2 days so that this nation could pay its respects to a woman whose courage had changed the lives of so many. She was the first woman in American history to lie in state at the Capitol, an honor usually reserved for presidents of the United States. Now, Rosa Parks made a difference for all of us. 50 years ago in 1955, Rosa Parks, a black woman, was arrested for refusing to relinquish her seat to a white person on the bus. In those days, the segregation laws of the Deep South, and especially in Montgomery, Alabama, stated that the first 10 seats of the bus reserved for a white person, and that blacks had to sit in the back of the bus. Even if there were no whites on the bus, they had to sit in the back of the bus. Now, depending on the bus driver would make many blacks come up, pay for the fare. They'd have to exit the bus, walk to the back of the bus, and get in the back door. On that day, Rosa Parks stood up to bigotry by sitting down and saying no, that she would not vacate her seat to a white person. She was arrested, fingerprinted, and fined. Now, her minister at the time was a rather young, 26-year-old, and relatively young, unknown, Martin Luther King Jr. And because of that event, he led a protest by organizing blacks to boycott the city buses in Montgomery, Alabama. 381 days later, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that racial discrimination on public transportation was unconstitutional. The Bible tells us about how we are God's children. We are created in God's image. It's hard to imagine that some think that their image is better than other images of God. Rosa Parks made a positive difference for all Americans. The Spirit of God that is in us will make a difference for us and for all mankind. What you do in life does make a difference. I would like to have everyone open their Bibles to Exodus 20. And we're going to read down here in verse 5 through 6. Here we're going to read about here God is himself speaking to the nation of Israel. And here we see that if we break God's laws, then there are punishments, or consequences. They're passed on to the third and fourth generation. So let's read in Genesis 28. We'll begin in verse 5 with the first sentence in there. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now all you who have the NIV version will say, it says they're showing love to the thousand generations. So what you do or do not do can make a difference to generations that will follow you. Now let me give you an example. Let's say your dad, goes into Circuit City and steals all of Elvis Presley's CDs. Well, then you don't get thrown in jail because you did not do that. You weren't any part of it. Let's say dad is a heavy smoker at home, but your lungs are polluted because of secondhand smoke. If your mom has a drinking problem and drinks too much when pregnant, you could be born with fetal alcohol syndrome. Now, if dad is bragging about robbing Circuit City all the time, you may be inspired to take up the life of crime. For those who come from families of sexual abuse, alcoholic problems, or other sins, you may have a tendency to repeat the cycle with your own family, and that's carried on to the next family. When you have God's Holy Spirit, God's Spirit can change us. While it is difficult for us who have had that imprint on us, we need to know that we can break the cycle of sin and its suffering if we turn to God and keep His commandments. What we do can make a difference to us and future generations. So how can we make a difference if we have doubts about ourselves and lack confidence? Well, in Exodus, there's an interesting story about Moses. God appears before Moses, and he wants Moses to free his people Israel from slavery in Egypt. Now, Moses gives God one excuse after another why he should pick someone else for the job. Moses says to God in Exodus 4:10 that he was not eloquent, slow of speech, and slow of tongue. And many commentaries say that Moses was actually a stutterer. Do you remember what God told Moses? God told him that God would be his mouth, and that God would teach him, and that what Moses should do, and that would give him Aaron, his brother, for help. You see, what you can do, you can make a difference. We need to ask God for that help to be with us, to overcome our own doubts and insecurities. Now, Joshua was a successor to Moses. And God told Joshua in Joshua 1:5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I find it interesting that Jesus Christ tells us the same thing, that he will not leave us nor forsake us. In order to make a difference in ourselves and others, we must rely on God to give us the confidence and course of action that we need to make a difference. Well, let me share with you how we can do this from a personal example. This year, I and my family, we went to Costa Rica for the feast. As I was walking around the hall after services, there was a group of people standing there, and I was looking for my wife, and I heard one woman say to another woman there, well, how do you like Costa Rica for the feast? She says, oh, I love it here, but my son hates it here. Now, her son, I think he was about 14 years old, was standing right next to her. And no matter what she said, she kept on knocking her son down. And it made people in this little small group uneasy. And they would try to change the subject and get on to something else. And she would answer that question, but come back to her son. And finally, at the very end, before I walked away, she said, "Yeah, and my son is a pain in the rear end." I thought to myself, how sad. How sad. See, she was making a difference, but not for the good. 17 years ago, I attended a church in Everett, and I was engaged to be married to Barb, my wife. A married couple came up to me, and we began talking about marriage, and I got some unsolicited advice. In our conversation, they said something that was like gold that I treasure this day. What they said was, praise your children in public, discipline them in private. I learned at that moment I could make a positive difference in my family. Yes, you can keep to make a difference by others by keeping God's love and His commandments. At times, however, it's not obvious to us that we are making a difference to others. Now, let me share you a story that I heard from Zig Ziglar. How many of you have heard of a man named Bill Havens? A show of hands. One person. I thought that would happen too, because I didn't know about it until I read the story. Well, in 1924, Bill Havens was very good at what he did. Very good. He's been called by some as probably one of the greatest roarers the United States has ever had. He was expected there to go in the 1924 Olympics, and he was expected to win 3 medals, and most people thought 3 gold medals. However, 2 months before the Olympics, Bill realized that his wife, who was pregnant, was going to give birth to their firstborn. You see, in those days, it took 2 weeks by boat to cross the Atlantic to get to France. And he'd be gone a total of 6 weeks from his wife. He decided that it was an important time to be with his wife and to watch his newborn being born. So he forfeited his spot on the team. Now, he felt that he disappointed his teammates, and over the years, he wondered about the medals he might have won. In 1952, Bill Havens got a telegram from his son, Frank, who had just won the 10,000-meter canoeing final at the Olympics in Helsinki, Finland. The telegram said this: "Dear Dad, thanks for waiting around for me to be born. I'm coming home with the gold medal you should have won. Your loving son, Frank." Bill Havens knew at that moment, without a shadow of a doubt, that he had done the right thing. Often, as we follow God and we experience many trials in our lives, we have to realize that some of our most important choices while we follow God will make a difference to others maybe years later. So is making the choice to make a difference easy? No, it's not. See, it's a choice. Rosa Parks made a choice of not relinquishing her seat. Her and her husband would lose their jobs. They received so many death threats that her husband feared for their safety and moved him and Rosa to Detroit. Jesus said about us that if they persecute you, Jesus said if they persecute me, they will persecute you. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, and we see of many people who made a difference, men and women. Women like Esther. I don't think you'd find the book Esther if she not had made a difference to the Jewish nation. Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. But yet, out of the flood, only he, his wife, the three sons, and their wives were saved. And here's this generational thing again. If you follow God, your generations will receive the benefits of it. Now, many want to shoot down your dream of being in the kingdom of God, and discourage you. Remember this, our Christian journey is not a sprint, but an endurance race. The scriptures tell us that he who endures to the end will be saved. You can make a difference if we follow God and his commandments. Remember that it may take years before you see some results. And Satan is very quick to remind you of him making your mistakes. He wants to discourage you. I think when he does that, maybe we ought to tell Satan, yes, Satan, I have sinned, but I've repented. But God has reserved for you 1,000 years in a bottomless pit, and you're going to be released. And then God's going to place you in the lake of fire for eternity. I think maybe we start doing that, Satan will leave us alone. So realize this, in spite of all the negativity that surrounds us at this time of year, you can make a difference.